Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Just gone 8:04 Central African time, and alhamdulillah, lovely, lovely, splendid morning with you, having the opportunity of this, you know, at least sharing the seerah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, what a beautiful thing to do. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is our Khatamun Nabiin. And if it was not for Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you and I today wouldn't be Muslims. Joining us is a talk show host. He's a herbalist and also a market commentator, someone that resonates positively on the platforms of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let's welcome Yusuf Mali with a hearty Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday morning, Yusuf.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, bi kulli hal. Ik zie het is prachtig in die kamp. Het is een beetje koud, maar het is bije mooi. Ik hoop je speciaal jou kan. And I would say, but only shukr for you for the opportunity and also for the listeners of Marcus Sahaba.
Mooi geprada, you know, the Afrikaans is so savor and soot and sweet. Ek hoor dat net zoals de cook sisters dat jelle maat daar in die kapen met die melk tart en ook met daar die meatballs. Ja. Wat van die snoek ook. Ja, oh, baie van daar die snoek met die chips. You know, on a serious note, Yusuf Mali, this morning I had the opportunity of sharing some of the finer moments of the seerah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the listeners. Perhaps if you had to look into the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which aspect of his life did capture you that resonates so beautifully with you that you'd like to share with the listeners this morning, since it's the first of Rabiul Awwal, Yusuf?
MashaAllah, subhanAllah, what a beautiful question. I would like to say Mubarak to each and everyone on this beautiful month of Rabiul Awwal. May each and everyone but experience all the beauties and the bounties which was left by our emissary and our pious leader, Hassan Adil Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you look at his attributes, it is astounding. A person that was a great leader, a great husband, a person that, how can I say, resonated with the world, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was the epitome of what we should be and strive for. So there is not one point that I can say it is this or it is that. It is everything. So subhanallah, if we want to be a copy, subhanAllah, it's a mammoth task to undertake when we talk about Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And looking at all his accolades, may it be in war, may it be in sympathy, may it be in mercy, may it be in love, may it be in everything, subhanAllah. What a great character. There is no leader throughout the timeline that haven't respected the beauty of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have now these false leaders that coming out and talking about Islam that have no idea what Islam is. But those who have studied and understood what is Islam, how is Islam making a difference? Because if we look at the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the genesis of beauty, the genesis of science, the genesis of tradition that is so beautiful that alhamdulillah we still maintain it after 1400 years. So we look at that legacy, and subhanallah, isn't that a legacy to want to emulate or try and copy and try and be? That is what we're looking at. So are we doing that, or are we with false hope? Subhanallah, if we are but only human, we will make mistakes, and that is what Allah wants us. Allah knows we're going to make mistakes, and Allah, that's why Allah is Rahmanur Rahim, Allah is merciful. So if Allah is merciful, subhanallah, yeah, no matter what we go through, the trials and tribulations, that will lead us astray. But if we finally understand that Allah is our salvation, and everything needs to follow in that tariq, alhamdulillah, we can but say, subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us the sunnah and how we need to come together in following that sunnah that is Sirat al-Mustaqim. So, subhanAllah, brother Shafat, there is too much. I cannot but point to one. Yeah. It's everything.
Absolutely, Yusuf. You know, the moment that captured me with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his being an orphan and going through the tapestry of life. But the one of Khadija radiallahu anha, you know, she embraced him, sold him, she believed in him. And also when his own people, you know, the Quraysh or the leadership, they offered him, they said, you know, take over the leadership here. We'll give you everything that you need, but stop your preaching. And he said, no, no, even if you give me Mount Uhud and all the other things, the gold and silver, put the sun and the moon in my right hand and left hand, I will not stop the giving of this messenger message of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And look at it today, Yusuf. The miracle is that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every second his name is being taken as a place somewhere in the world today. And it's in the form of the azan being given all over the globe. And also, the most common name today amongst people is Muhammad, Yusuf. Perhaps a quick comment from you.
Subhanallah. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that beautiful? Subhanallah. Looking at that, where our connection is with the heart of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the heart of Allah, which is the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we're looking at the love of Allah, is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we look at everything, Allah being made this dunya for the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we but only vessels in this to follow and emulate him. So subhanallah, may Allah but only grant us that tranquility that we need by following the beauty of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah.
Inshallah, I mean, yes, Yusuf, looking at our topics this morning, breakthrough, some municipalities can now generate their own electricity. And then what about those the people that are still insisting we want illegal connection? It is our rights. Well, how do you solve this conundrum, Yusuf? I don't know. Yusuf can.
Ameen, inshallah, subhanallah. That is a conundrum at the moment. It's a conundrum for ESCOM, because you have its best paying taxpayer, best paying municipality will be going offline. If you look at the two best paying and have the best clean record is the Western Cape and looking at El Kuleni. So, a government has given them the opportunity, since you have a clean record, you can produce your own electricity, acquire your own electricity, submit and search for your own electricity. But those who are not doing, who are failing, who are in debt with ESCOM, they won't get that opportunity. So that is a conundrum, because now you're taking offline that who have been doing very well, so ESCOM will then be put on the back foot further into debt. So that's why I said it's a conundrum. It's a conundrum which cannot be solved so easily by taking the best and moving them away and saying, okay, now what's going to happen with the rest? With ESCOM failing even further load shedding, because they're further in debt, they cannot accommodate because their books is not actually balancing. So that is going to be a bigger worry and a bigger conundrum. But therefore, I wanted to first focus on what the president is looking at the four different steps he's looking at, the four economic lifelines that he wants to focus on, and then focusing also on incorporating what is possible there. Because if you look at these two articles, they actually work very well hand in hand, because the one is saying, well done guys, you have a clean record, so you can go ahead. But then what happens? What happens? That's the question. Is there an alternative? Are they looking at solutions that will increase unemployment? Because we have the greatest unemployment in the world at the moment, let alone South Africa. Looking at the fiscal deficit has decreased so much that there is a problem. We are in a depression, not a recession. We're in a depression, and that's worldwide. And are we coming out of it? What? And that's the good news that will be at the end. So let's quickly look at the situation where we are now. Looking at the president have mentioned that the top four economic lifelines which will really make a difference, because he acknowledged that 2 million people have lost their jobs in the second quarter of this year. And economy has contracted not by 2%, not by 7% or 10% or 12%, but 16.4%. Wow, that's staggering. That is depression mode now we're talking about. There's no fancy coating it or anything. We are in a depression. So what the president focused on was the public sector work, also I said public sector jobs, the energy policy changes, the infrastructure and local production to keep the economy and revive the economy again. So that is what he's looking at. And I would say, well done, President, because you are looking at taking the bull by the horn. And where we're looking at infrastructures, those infrastructures that have now diminished, that have been standing still, that have been looted and have been burnt down, those infrastructures need to be assimilated and investment needs to be put into it. So that means it will be creating jobs. Doing that will be creating sustainable employment, both directly and indirectly. And that is what the president said. Then also the energy policy. Now, the president also said the second priority for intervention will be expanding the energy generation capacity, which is expecting to put into the grid 11,000 megawatts, so 11 trillion watts of new generation, which is the capacity into the system by 2022. Now, most generally from renewable energy. So now renewable energy, we know it comes from various aspects, from solar to wind to hydro to gas. So it's all those are all opportunities. And that is where the first article we're looking at, which balances out further. Because now we're talking about alternative energy, which is gas. And something we haven't really embraced, but Cape Town and Ekurhuleni are ready to generate their own power. They are ready. They've been. They even took the government to task on that. Now you have those individual freedoms, which will be now to source their own energy. Looking at both Ekurhuleni which they focused on a 680 megawatt generating from various renewable sources, mainly solar, waste to energy. This is according to the Metro spokesperson, Tembang Khadeba. Now, this could mean cheaper electricity for consumers and a huge saving for the city. But as I said, it's going to mean a very good for those provinces and those cities. But it's going to spell bad for Eskom, because Eskom, you have dropped the ball. So now you're going to be punished, and the punishment and penalty that you're going to endure is the best of forward runners, the best athletes that you had in your stable will be taken offline, and they will be generating their own energy. As I said, just alone Ekurhuleni, 680 megawatts. Let alone with Cape Town, and Cape Town is also looking at much more greater than that, because as I said, Cape Town, they even had the new draft regulation are still limited, but the minister prescribed the quantity and type of generation that the municipality may set up. So it is still now in setting into production how it's going to actually have this newfound freedom of energy reclamation. So it's very exciting. It's exciting time, but it's also worrying time. Because, as I said, that the president wants to implement that 11,800 megawatts. So it is something to worry about. Because if you're going to do that, what is going to have to, happen to Eskom? So that's why the president said that the work of restructuring Eskom to separate entities of generation, transmission and distribution continues and will enhance the competition. So there it balances it out. So the president have been thinking about this model, and they were worried all the time. If they're going to take those front runners out, what is going to happen? So, but if we look at the proposal of the three-way system, which is now the generation, transmission, and distribution being broken up, where Eskom is being broken up, it's going to mean very good for South Africa. Because if we do it that way, we can then incorporate the new IPPs into the new generation of new method of generation. Then that also then a complement. What is there already? So then the other aspect of which the president is also focusing on is large-scale job creation. They're looking at trying to accommodate 800,000 people or employ 800,000 before the end before the end of the year and coming months. So they've committed over 100 billion rand over the next 3 years to create jobs. So for the next few months, 800,000 they are looking at creating. That is staggering. How are they going to do that? What are they going to do? Well, they are speaking to a lot of social employment and through public works. They're looking at embracing the labor market and recovering that labor market by speaking to the role players. But how they're going to do that is really tricky because we're still in a pandemic. We're still in COVID-19. We still have in lockdown one. We have a lot of big retailers that we have a lot of unemployment in. So what's going to happen? So like you spoke last week, that brick and mortar method of trade that has left. So how the new paradigm going to change now to the online marketing? It creates more opportunity for warehousing. So yeah, you're going to have warehouses, upspring of warehouses where you have to have stock for your online trade. So that means you need more people, the facilities and everything. You have to have delivery, all those things. So it's a new industry, or should I say a revitalizing of an industry that is beyond what it was before. So it becomes very exciting. So that means also that the fourth and final aspect the president spoke about, economic recovery, is the local production. So he said that the place economy on a new trajectory, the government would support growth in local production and make South African exports much more competitive. And it's already there. Because if you look how we are already in junk status, so we have a lot of subsidies for various undertakings. So there is already that 664 billion that is requested in new investment into the country. A lot of people say, what happened to the 500 billion? So that's the first question people ask. But if you look at to date, only 170 billion of capital expenditure was committed for this investment. So this is separate to that what was done for COVID-19 and for the pandemic and for restructuring and for aid. This is now a different stages, which is for investment in the country. Rashafat, what do you think? What's going to happen? 664 billion?
Yeah. You know, mind-boggling figures coming through, and we know out of the billion trillions being looted already, money being taken off, and as you said, Ekurhuleni getting off the grid. Generating their own power, and also Cape Town. There'll be not enough money for the looters. They're still lurking around there. You know, they know how to sniff money and go for it. And they have, you get plan A, they go to plan B and plan C. But let's hope and pray that the Hawks, the Zondo Commission and NPA will clean out this country. And perhaps you giving people ideas here, Yusuf Mali, this morning, talking about Ekurhuleni. So, hey, you know what? I want to move to Ekurhuleni. Hey, that's a place to be. You know, maybe no load shedding, or we'll go to the Western Cape. But to be realistic, you know, since the advent of, whilst you're talking, my mind just swam into a pool of thoughts about electricity. You know, because of electricity, we have bought big deep freezers, and we've been stocking it up to the brim, and, you know, become compulsive eaters. How has, electricity, added to the downfall of our health, Yusuf. Perhaps, I want you to delve in that. People say it's a blessing, but perhaps a curse in disguise, Yusuf.
Well, that is a very good question and a good topic to speak about. I don't think we have enough time to talk about it, but let's quickly delve into it. But we understand when we look at electricity as a luxury, electricity has given us the opportunity to create more freedoms, of having to store more than what we actually need. Because previously, if you look at the Stone Age, people could only hunt and look for their daily need. Now we can stock up for the next 2 years or 10 years. So we have deep freezers and we have storerooms, which we can even walk in storerooms or walk in fridges. So we have a greater opportunity to store greater and better. So what does that mean? That now it's either that you have the means Previously, it's like you don't go beyond your means. But if you have enough storage to store, say you slaughtered 100 sheep and you have stocked up that's for the next 10 years for you as a family. But if, for example, now previously you couldn't do that. What could fit in your freezer or what could fit in your fridge, that was it. So when the pandemic came, you had also now the alhamdulillah, Eid al-Adha came, and it gave us the opportunity to slaughter. So you have also benefits that came with that, where you could have stored all those sheep and cattle, whatever you slaughter, you can sort away. But now you have the negative side. The negative side is, are we now overindulging? We created more obesity than what it was before, because we have abundance. So we have all the luxuries of electricity that's giving us and now the best type of machines that can make us the best from Gatsby's to burgers and various different things, because the electricity is there. They've given us that opportunity to prepare various fast food. So if you look at that and you look at where we are now, it is also to do about our mindset and lifestyle. Have we changed our lifestyle from what it was before, traditional, to where now it's fast food? So it's more, can we point it to electricity? Yes, we can, but it's more mindset. If we have, as a community and as a nation, have changed from traditional. We previously used to have your stews and you had your gravies. No, now everything is fast food. So it's more you indulge more on a Gatsby or on a Chipro or something like that, which is not good and beneficial to the body, than having stews and breedies, which is beneficial, because our mindset has changed. So we can't blame electricity for that, but we can say it is a conduit to where we are with this current problem of obesity and where we're overindulging.
Well, you heard that. Don't indulge to bulge, people. But, you know, getting back to our topic here, Yusuf, amidst South Africa's economic gloom, exports boom thanks to gold price and citrus. Your comments, Yusuf?
I say, well done, South Africa. You've actually made us proud. And looking at, when I say that, is that, look here, we have embraced the organics. Citrus has been doing excellent. Let alone the gold and all the other minerals. So we have to give them the accolades. But we have actually done very well in citrus. If you're looking at July and August alone, export was over 8 billion. That was according just because of COVID-19. We staggered that amount in what was previously 2 billion or under a billion. Now we have 8 billion. So if you look at that, is very good. Because if you look at, especially Europe, they needed vitamin C as the coronavirus caused consumers to become more conscious of protecting the immunity. So the South African may export almost 10 billion pieces of citrus through this year alone, is what is expected for the best season on record. So well done, guys. But now, if you look at the other aspect, and we look at it, as you said, it's a boom. The boom is export reached 130 billion just in August. So amazing. How is that possible? Is it possible? Because if you're looking at previous years, it was like 80 billion or half of 50 billion or just over. We were making it. But now for this, it's staggering amounts. Because why? Because people have been investing in those precious metals like gold and focusing on those precious metals. Because and also the cost of importing oil has also fallen, which because of COVID-19. A lot of businesses have gone out of business. You have a lot of companies that had massive trucking and also transports has kept to a minimum. So alone oil imports have diminished, but at the same time, we have been there was an explosion with the gold being the traditional seen as a safe haven investment. So that has really gone astronomical. So we had a 23% over the past year. That's just on gold. So it exploded. 23%. Wow, that's staggering. Let alone now those other soft commodities, which we know is also very good for vehicles, which is palladium and rhodium, and also necessary for energy. So that is also other macro imports. So looking at in August alone, South Africa exported the precious metal to 34.4 billion compared to last year, which was at 18.4, which is almost, you can literally say half. The category represented 26% of the value of exports in August alone compared to 15% of last year. So well done. So now we are looking at a deficit. We are plus 4 billion. That is good. But it means that we can do better. We're not the year isn't done yet, but for the first 8 months of the year, remarkably, our trade surplus has been very well because we didn't we imported less and exported more. So we on a 4.1 billion profit, and I say well done, South Africa. We can do better, and we're going to do better. So I would only make dua, inshallah, that we reach those greater heights, especially now in this pandemic, that we can create more opportunity and unemployment, and for those people who are in necessity of assistance, inshallah, I mean.
Inshallah, Yusuf, absolutely booming news from Yusuf Ali. And on that booming news, I think we'll, inshallah, end up the segment. Your parting words, Yusuf?
May Allah make it easy for each and everyone. May Allah grant us but only goodness and beauty for the week ahead. And let us not think twice about charity. As I said, there is a lot of people that is unemployed, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors. Knock on their door. Find out by them. How are you doing? Do you need assistance? Don't even ask, do you need assistance? Take a loaf of bread or even take a parcel. Do something to your loved ones and those around you. Subhanallah, Allah will reward you abundantly. From Yusuf Mali, shukran for the opportunity. Have a wonderful, awesome week ahead. Until we speak again, ma'assalama ila al-liqa.
Yes, wa alaikum salam to our Yusuf Mali for, mashallah, good input coming through and many other positive, clues he gives you there, or tips that, go knock at the door of your neighbor, take some fruits, take them the citrus fruit. There's abundance, I believe. The choice grape is exported, and I believe we get the standard grade fruits in the country. Imagine the choice grade, someone else eats it, but we get the standard grade to eat. Is that fair or not? I don't know. Well, I can tell you. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.